Well, good morning. Well, Dan, I appreciate your disclaimer about our fashion sense this morning, but I am speaking for my mother. She's just glad I'm in church. Because there was a time when she thought, and she always knew exactly what to do with me. And it was always make me sit right next to her. And anyway, she knew exactly what to do with me and what to do to me. But anyway, I do want to say one thing. I know that our brother Dick does not, today, he would say, hey guys, this is not about me at all. But I'll say it is. It's about our brother Dick. It's about each one of us. And I want to honor I want to honor the Jesus in Dick this morning, just for a second. And that's the thing that I think we all see and that we all love. And that's that what we all share is the Christ in us. And, the thing about it is that, it might be, this might be a small congregation in terms of some, but, the fact is that Highland Hills has changed lives. I mean, this place has changed lives in a very dramatic way. And that small meeting, that Bible study that Ward was talking about, and I don't know who all was in attendance, but those who decided to give birth to this ministry have changed lives. I mean, think about this in no uncertain terms. If it weren't for Highland Hills, my family and I would probably be in Phoenix right now. And our house would be worth about half of what we paid for it, because that's the epicenter of the housing thing. But I mean, seriously, we would not be here. My children have grown up in, for the most part, and will grow up in Tullahoma, Tennessee, because of the decisions y'all made 18 years ago. And that changes, that's a physical change in someone's life. And we can't list all of the people who have been buried with Christ in this place and who now are new creations because of the decisions y'all made 18 years ago. Those lives would not have been changed. It's no small thing to go through what these men and women have gone through for these many years. It just shows you the miracle. I mean, it is. It's a miracle when God changes the hearts of people to care more about a community and more about a kingdom that we can't even see than they do about their own lives, than they do about their own health in some instances. And so it is about honoring men like Dr. Fuel and Dr. Harder and plain old Earl. He's not a doctor. Mr. Earl. Bill's not a doctor either. Just plain old Bill. It's about honoring these guys and their wives and Tom Dillingham. Earl's real smart though. We all know that. And it's about honoring those men and even if you're not a shepherd, it's honoring Al and honoring, Howard and Denny. And it's about honoring the men and women who make this place and change lives and just give of themselves. And that's an important thing. So this morning, as we continue in our sermon series about being the biggest loser, getting fit for the kingdom and losing the weight of sin, one of the things I love about being at Highland Hills is I have the opportunity not only to preach to people who I know are smarter than me, but I get to preach to poets, and I get to inspire poets. And I've never done that before, but B has written poems because of sermons I've preached, and our brother Al Klaus has written poems about sermons. And this morning I'm going to share with you this poem. It's called Losing to Win. I got this in an email this week. I'm losing to win. Come join me, my friend. I'm getting life under control, adjusting the setting of my compass heading to be more in tune with my goal. I'm losing to win. In my heart, I begin each day of my life with a song, praising His name in every refrain that He steer me away from all wrong. I'm losing to win each time I begin a private talk with my Lord, fighting the fight by day and by night, I'm wielding God's battle sword. I'm shedding the weight of sin and of hate. Satan is such an abuser. For I want to be known in that heavenly throng as one of God's greatest losers. Yes, I'm losing each day, and I'm thankful to say that I'm on what you might call a roll. For I'm losing sin, and that's losing to win. And the infinite gain of the soul. Amen is right. Now, if you want a copy of that, just email me and let me know, and I'll email that to you. And I'll email you, with his permission, Al's email address. And so you can email him, and then he can email you his poems that he sends me, because I love them, and they're such an inspiration to me. But that's the goal, is to lose all of the worldliness that sticks to us and all of the things that weighed us down. And in Hebrews chapter 12, I'm in charge of this today. Ooh. Sorry, Tim. You're back in control. Yes, Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. We started out, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us shed every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily hinders our progress, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. And that is that's the biggest loser verse right there. That's what we're trying to become. We're trying to shed all of the weight that slows us down. The good weight. There are weight in that he's talking about that are good things that we're going to talk about shedding later. But there's also that sin that we have that makes us into what we don't want to be, and it hinders that walk. And so as we've looked at what it means to be a loser and what it means to win through that. This morning, I want to talk about the title of the sermon this morning is It's Time to Hit the Gym. And this is going to be kind of there's going to be parts to this. So this is the series within the series as we kind of get to the gym. And this morning, the verse that really is inspiring the thought and the one thing that I wanted you to leave with this morning is in Matthew 12, 43 through 45. Because it's not good enough for us just to stop doing stuff. It's not good enough for us to just, in health and fitness, to just watch what we eat. There's other things involved. And in Matthew 12 and 43, Jesus says, when an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest, and it does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house that I left. When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first. That is how it will be for this wicked generation. You see, this morning as we look at the concept of time to hit the gym, it's not good enough for us just to stop doing stuff. It's not good enough for us to use our willpower and just say, I'm going to refrain from doing all the things that I know are wrong, and I'm going to stop sinning, and I'm going to just quit doing all the things that do not bring glory to God. It's not good enough for us to do that, because what Jesus is saying is that when we occupy our mind with the things that we want to stop doing, guess what we're thinking about all the time? The things that we shouldn't be doing. We're occupying our mind with sin. That's what we're doing. If all we think about are the things that we want to refrain from, then our mind is completely consumed with bad things all of the time. And when we think about things that we don't want to do, guess what? It's harder not to do those very things. Okay, here's an exercise. Whatever you do, do not think about bananas. What are you thinking about right now? Bananas, aren't you? See, what he's saying is that it makes it even harder when we acknowledge those things, when we make all of our life just about refraining from them, then that masters us. And he talks about that in Romans, the things that we don't want to do, we find ourselves doing. So we have to become weak in order to win. We have to become weak in order to become strong. We have to replace the bad with the good. You see, it's not just good enough to watch what we eat. We have to build muscle as well. We have to get into the gym and we have to build that muscle that burns away all of the things that hinder us, that take away all of the stuff in our life that keep us out of shape and unable to perform. It's not good enough just to stop doing stuff. We have to learn what the exercises are. There are exercises that God has provided for us. There are things that we are asked to do. There are activities, spiritual activities that give us the ability, that give us the strength to be the people that God has called us to be. There are spiritual activities that fill our lives so that there is no room whatsoever for the things that hinder us, for the evil one. They're called spiritual disciplines. We're going to take 3 weeks and we're going to look at the disciplines, the exercises that God has given us. We're going to take some time and we're going to look at what it looks like to get on the treadmill, the spiritual treadmill that God has provided. We're going to see what it looks like to lift the spiritual weights and to build spiritual muscle that will burn all of the sin out of our life. Not only will we take it off, we'll keep it off. It's so important to spiritual health. There's three things that there are three sets of disciplines that we're going to look at. There's inward disciplines that allow God to reveal to you who you are. You see, the important thing is to be real, to be open and honest. Remember last week or the week before that week? It's been a while since I preached, hadn't it? We went to Winterfest and then we got snowed out. So the last time I preached about this was I don't do spandex. We don't like to be in all tight binding clothing where you can see all of my trouble spots and all of my areas that I need work. We like to cover that with loose fitting clothing where we can be something that we're not. But you see, the disciplines, there are inward disciplines that God wants us to utilize that will show us who we are, that will just are all about being open and honest. And disciplines like meditation and prayer and fasting and study, they display within us who we are. And then there's outward disciplines. And these are the disciplines, the exercises that allow God to control what we do. Once we know who we are, then we have to allow God to control us, control our actions. These are disciplines like simplicity and solitude, submission and service. And then there are the corporate disciplines, those disciplines that we practice together, and they're all about allowing God to bring us closer together. It's all about God bringing us as a group into the body and strengthening the body as a whole. Remember if you were here on Wednesday night, a couple of Wednesday nights ago, Howard did a marvelous job of illustrating Hebrews chapter 10, where he talks about do not give up on meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another all the more, even as you see the day approaching, because there's this unity, there's the strength that we get in these numbers, and there's a fire that's burning. And when we separate ourselves from the corporate disciplines, that fire and that heat and that desire for God runs cold. So the corporate disciplines allow God to bring us closer to who He wants us to be. So this morning we're going to start out, we're going to look at the inward disciplines. We're going to spend just a few moments looking at these things and kind of understanding where God wants to take us with each one of them. Now, this is a sermon that I'm going to give you some high points on these things, but there are books and books and books written about each one of these. And I can suggest all kinds of books, and I can give you all kinds of reading. And the real rubber meeting the road on this is what you do with what I'm going to say between now and next week. It has nothing to do with whether you listen, whether you take copious notes. Because that's all well and good, but these are things that have to take place daily in order to change us. This is truly, these next three sermons, more than any other I've ever preached, will be determined. The worth and the value of these sermons will be determined by what we do as individuals, not by how well they kept your attention. Not by whether or not the illustrations were clever and funny. But will we do these exercises? Will we allow God to change us? The first thing, the first inward discipline that we have to do is you got to get your mind right. You got to get your mind right. And this is all about meditation, all about thinking things of God, about thinking God's thoughts. You see, being like God starts with hearing Him. We have to hear the voice of God. We have to hear the Word of God. We have to hear God if we're ever going to be like God. And so being like God starts with hearing God. And hearing God starts with listening to Him. It's as simple as that. Hearing God starts with listening to God. You see, we listen to so many things throughout every day. You see, hitting the gym, spiritually speaking, is a daily occurrence. It really is. And we listen to all sorts of things all throughout the day. We really do. And we hear what those things, we hear Dave Ramsey, or we hear our coworkers, or we hear our spouse, or our kids, or our teachers, or our students. We hear all those things because we're listening to those things. And we're listening to them because we take specific time in our day to put ourselves in front of those individuals so that we can listen and hear what they had to say. The most important individual to put ourselves in front of is God. And meditation is that way of hearing Him. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, the leader of God's people who came right after Moses is talking about how important meditation is to him. And he's, you know, basically in verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. God's speaking here. And he's saying that, so the leadership of the entire nation of Israel is falling on Joshua. And in verse 6, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. What God is saying is that you have a job to do, Joshua. You have a very important job. You have to lead my people into the land that I promised them, and I want you to be successful in that very important job. So in order to do that, think about my word day and night. When we hear the word meditation, we think of spiritual giants, and we think of biblical characters, and we think of all of, oh man, and that's just for the lofty, for the educated, for the brilliant, for the smart. What God is saying, it's none of those things. It's for anyone who wants to think God thoughts and to hear the voice of God. To set ourselves and recognize His presence and just listen. To think the thoughts of God. In Psalm chapter 119, there's too many examples to list. The longest chapter in the Bible, I would encourage you to read it. David is talking about the strife that he's felt in his life. He's talking about the difficulty. He's talking about the hard times. And he said, you know, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, after I've recognized how important you are, now, Lord, I do your will and I meditate on your precepts day and night. Over and over throughout the Psalms, David talks about the importance of meditation. Richard Foster has written many books on the spiritual disciplines. And of meditation, he said, it is the one discipline that reinvents the imagination. Do you have trouble imagining what God must be truly like? You have trouble imagining what heaven must be truly like. Take Isaiah chapter 1. Read the first 8 or 9 verses and meditate on that for a week. Meditate on Revelation where it talks about before the throne of God, there are angels upon angels and elders and servants of the church that are there. And all day they are singing and praising, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. If you think those thoughts, I promise your imagination will be captured by the true and living God. He cleanses our imagination. Meditation is all about consuming the mind with a single thought. And the question is, will we, as God's people, in an effort to become more like Him, will we give so much of our everyday to think God thoughts, just to take a verse and to think about it, to analyze it and to dissect it and to think on it, to think God thoughts. First thing we need to do is get our mind right. And the second thing is to accept His presence in prayer. You see, God is always present. God is always aware of us. And prayer is that mysterious moment where we on purpose become aware of Him. Prayer is that time where we can speak and know that God hears us. The fact about prayer is that if we are unwilling to change, prayer will be abandoned. As an inward discipline, as an inward exercise, if you ever want to find out how willing you are as an individual to lose more of self and to gain more of God, simply analyze how much time you spend in prayer, because prayer is the moment that we're aware of change that has to take place. And if we're unwilling to do that, if we're unwilling to allow God to build spiritual muscle, then we, faster than anything, will abandon the discipline of prayer. We'll abandon the exercise of recognizing the presence of God. I love Mark chapter 1, verse 35 is one of my favorite teachings on prayer. And it's not a verse where Jesus speaks any specific prayer. It isn't a verse where He says, when you pray, this then is how you should pray. It isn't a verse where we get any insight as to the words that Jesus uses in prayer. But it's a verse where we get all sorts of and volumes of insight into the man of prayer that our Savior was. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, it simply says, very early in the morning, Jesus got up. He went to a solitary place where He prayed. You see, prayer was a scheduler for Jesus. Prayer scheduled His day. You know, this morning, we got up an hour earlier. I mean, physically, not by the clock, because we had to go fall or spring forward. But we got up an hour earlier than we normally do this morning because, I don't even know where, I mean, because the government told us to. I mean, isn't that where it started? They, you know, Benjamin Franklin, I'm sure, wasn't that in National Treasure somewhere? Benjamin Franklin did everything, so you just pick him. But yeah, we got up an hour earlier because, you know, we're supposed to, and you set the clocks and all that. So that was a big scheduler for all of us this morning. But as an exercise to become more like God, can prayer be a scheduler? Can it be something that in order to do this exercise, God, in order to recognize Your presence, this morning I will get up earlier than I am supposed to for everything else in my day so that I can recognize Your presence. Presence that's already there, mind you. God, I want to recognize You, and I want You to speak to me and let me hear the things that I need to change today to look more like You. And prayer is less about getting from God. It's more about getting with God. The third thing, the third exercise, the inward disciplines, is finding those trouble spots. For that, God has given us fasting. The exercise, you know, there's specific things certain exercises that work certain parts of the body, you know, and as I get into the gym and I want certain things to look different, you know, I don't do sit-ups so that my legs get stronger. I do sit-ups so that my belly disappears. And, you know, one exercise I really like doing. It's where you grab the weights, the strings here, and there's weights there, and you go forward like this. I wish that exercise worked everything. because it's easy for me. It looks cool. I got my sleeveless shirts on, and things are popping out, and I'm straining. And oh, there's mirrors right there. I love looking in the mirrors when I work out. But I wish this one here did everything. I'd do it all the time. That's the only one I would do. But it doesn't. There's other exercises that work other parts of the body. And although this is probably our least favorite of the inward disciplines, it's one that finds our trouble spots. And it really brings to our attention what we should be thinking on, praying about. Fasting is all about discovering that spoiled child within each one of us. It reveals what controls us. If you struggle with anger, let me promise you something. Fasting will reveal that. If you struggle with pride, fasting will reveal the part of your life that you are prideful about. If you struggle with anything, fasting is the discipline that will bring that out. There are things, there are secret sin that I have struggled with my whole life that I didn't realize that really, really affected areas of my life that I didn't know about until I fasted. Until I started to practice this very discipline. There are things that just come bubbling to the surface when we practice this. I don't know why and I don't know how. I can only tell you that Jesus was right when he says in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4 that we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Every word that proceeds out of God's mouth reveals to us more and more of how we should look. And fasting is such an important aspect of our exercise regimen. It builds within us desire to fix things that maybe we didn't know needed to be fixed. The last thing that we need to do is just start sweating. I mean, it's just time to start doing it. The rubber meeting the road is just to start sweating and to study. There's an inward discipline of study that is all about transforming our mind. You see, I love that the Holy Spirit is so alive and so active in this congregation. And I know that because Dan this morning, he quoted Romans 12 and verse 1. And that's exactly where I'm headed with this. Romans 12 verse 1 says, "Therefore present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing unto God. This is your spiritual act of worship." And he says to transform your mind. He says, "Do not be transformed, or do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." There we go. I'll get it right in just a second. So don't go along with the pattern of the world. Don't just keep on adding more and adding more of this world and adding more of the things that hinder us in the race that God has set before us. But be transformed. Allow your mind to be renewed. And the mind is renewed by applying it to those things that will transform it. You see, our mind is renewed whenever we think on and whenever we study on, whenever we apply it to what will transform our mind. More of this place will not transform it. More earthly, more worldly, financial pursuits, more of those things will not transform our mind. It will only entrench us further in the things that separate us from God. But when we study the Word of God, we will become what we occupy our mind with the most. And if we find it hard to meditate on a scripture, it's because we haven't studied to know what to think about. And if we fast and we find it difficult to surrender to God the things that we discover, it's because we haven't studied to know what is the precepts of God are and what to release and what to hold on to. In 2 Timothy 2 and 15, he says, "Do your best." King James interprets that as to study, to be approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who rightly handles the word of truth. And there's a Greek word there. It's all about being a brick mason and correctly fitting into our life the word of God. You have but to study it to know that there is no place in our life that the word of God doesn't fit. There's no place. If we're trying to find how to rightly fit the Word of God into our life, we will find that it fits in every aspect of every single day. That's what God is calling us to do. He isn't calling us to decipher the code. He isn't saying to figure out what I meant by this or what I meant by that. He's telling us, fit this into your lives. He's saying, live your life this way. We've so butchered so much of the Scripture because we feel like there's some kind of doctrinal mystery that we have to uncover. All we have to do is apply it to our life and live by the precepts that He has established. The disciplines that God has set for us, the exercises that He has given us, they're not the growth. Simply mastering prayer or meditation or study or fasting, being able to fast a long, long time, that's not the growth. The exercises place us in a position where the growth takes place. That's what they're about. The spiritual disciplines, the exercises God has given us, put us where growth happens. Think about the parable of the soil in Matthew 13. The disciplines get the soil ready. The disciplines get the seed in the ground, but it is the power of God that grows the spiritual muscle in order to transform us into His likeness. When you're in the gym and you're working out, when you're on the bike and you're riding, or whenever you're jogging, whenever we're putting our muscles or the lack of muscles to the test, when we're straining against the weight, that doesn't build muscle. It only puts us in a place where muscle can grow. You see, muscle is actually grown in the bed resting after a tough workout or a long ride. Spiritual muscle is the same way. We have to get in the gym. We have to put our physical bodies in the position to allow God to grow us in His direction. So this morning, the choice is clear. We can continue to fight with our will, or we can allow God to give us a new one. We can continue to occupy our mind with the things that we're not supposed to be doing, the things that we struggle with, or we can surrender our minds to the thoughts of God. We can fill up our life with God and allow Him to push everything outside of it. And then we can grow. The test will be if we do this week different. The invitation is always open. But this morning, the invitation is one that if there is a need in your life that you want the prayers of the church, if there is a struggle that you're going through, then you can, we ask that you would come forward and let us know those things. If you want to be baptized this morning, if you want to start this workout regimen and start losing that weight of sin and becoming a new person, if you want to die to self and be raised in newness, please come forward and do that. But the invitation also extends to this afternoon and tomorrow and Tuesday and every day until we meet again. Will you meditate? Will you carve out your day around prayer? Will you find time just one day this week and fast to the glory of God, praying that He will reveal what He wants you most to lose? Will you study more than you've ever studied before? Will you commit to this workout regimen and fill your house with God and let Him drive away everything else? The choice is yours as together we stand and as we sing.